There have been times in life I've had hard acts to follow. That one not so hard. Anyway, thank you, Dave, for being impromptu and keeping us in the fishing spirit, if I can say. And truly, we have been sharing about being fishers of men, and we're going to continue to do that a little bit this morning. But I did want to just take a moment and say thank you to so many of you who have sent cards and have been praying for me and called me this past week to see if I was still among the living. As we dealt with our pancreatitis, we are feeling much better. We've passed the pain moments now and just get sick to our stomach every now and then a little bit. But then we have to be very careful about what we're eating. But the Lord is good. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you. I appreciate your prayers and your concerns and your thoughts. They mean so much. Also, I just wanted to announce, too, that also coming up May 16th, that's a Tuesday, at 6:30 p.m., the men are going to meet for our usual taco night Anyway, we're going to go eat Mexican. And so men, we hope that you'll come and join us 6:30 May 16th there at Lagodi. And we always have a good time. So we hope that you'll come be part of the men's group as we just share together and worship the Lord. Well, as you know, over the last few weeks, we've been sharing about evangelism. And yes, we've talked about it from the perspective of the fishers of men. And so we've been sharing about evangelism from the call to fish to across the pond, simply because evangelism is across the street and around the world. This importance of sharing the gospel, sharing our faith, sharing what Christ has done in our life with others. And it's a very important assignment, a very important fishing trip the Lord has sent us to do, to be fishers of men. And so we've shared the command. We've talked about the process and even discussed some of the fears of sharing our faith. Yet today we may still have some apprehension and anxiousness about evangelism. As we shared with you, the number one reason people say they don't share their faith is because of fear. And so I really appreciate what Dean was sharing with us this morning. It really is just telling somebody else what Jesus has done for us. And He's done so much. And so we have so much to share. But often we are anxious about this thing of evangelism. And so hopefully today, as we share about keep casting our net, it will help settle our hesitations. It's hard to believe, but this is the closing message in our evangelism series. We came with expectation and excited about sharing about it. Of course, anything connected with fishing, I get excited about. And so you put fishing and Jesus in the same sentence, and it gets really good. You guys slept some last night, right? All right. And so, however, this is the closing message, but it's not the last discussion that we're going to have about evangelism. And so we'll continue to share with you, especially as we will discover today, we are to keep casting our net. And so I'd like to draw our attention this morning with this thought about keep casting our net to Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 8 this morning. And here, this is exactly what this passage of Scripture deals with, is casting the net. And there's so much happening here, and we want to share it with you in regard to this thing of evangelism, sharing our faith, being fishers of men. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8 this morning. Appreciate you would stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 this morning shares with us. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Join with us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we've gathered today, we thank you for your goodness, for your blessings, for your mercies, for your grace. We thank you for the one who sought after us, who came fishing, Lord, for each and every one of us. We're here today because somebody else shared their faith in some form or fashion. And so today we are thankful. But Lord, as we come to this passage of Scripture this morning, I pray that you stir our heart and mind, and Lord, that we would understand beyond the shadow of a doubt today that we need to keep casting our net. We need to keep sharing about Jesus. And so Lord, help us today to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be strengthened, to be motivated today because of the words that you share with us. We ask once again, Lord, that you would allow us come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. Lord, we thank you once again for your goodness to us, for we ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And so as we begin to think about this concept of keep casting your net, we're dropped here into Luke chapter 5. Jesus has been sharing. In fact, he came to Peter and got on Peter's boat, and they asked him to just cast off a little from the shore, and he spoke to the multitudes. And then we pick up here then in verse 4 of Luke chapter 5, and what we enter into is this conversation between Jesus and Simon, who we know as Peter, often in Scripture, and they have a conversation about fishing. And of course, that's always exciting to me when we begin to think about fishing. But remember, as we talk about being fishers of men, we're talking about evangelism and not actually going fishing. But there's nothing wrong with that either. But we find that they're in this conversation. And in this conversation, there's some important things, I believe, that we learn about evangelism. And so we're going to take a look this morning at this conversation between Jesus and Simon Peter. And then here in a little bit, we're going to look at the results from this conversation. And so let's look at what Jesus says, or what Jesus shares with Peter. We know that he's shared with the multitude. Now he turns to Peter and he says to Peter, launch out into the deep. Launch out. Or in other words, go. Every time we speak about evangelism, every time we talk about sharing our faith with somebody else, it's connected to this little word, go. Can we say that together this morning? Go. One more time. Go. Basically, what Jesus was sharing with Peter is launch out. He says, launch out into the deep. Go, Peter. If you're going to catch any fish, you got to go fishing. If you don't go fishing, the likelihood of you catching fish is zero. And so you got to go. And this is what Jesus shares with Peter. He says, launch out, go. And in the next sentence, Jesus says to him, and let down your nets for a catch. This is what Jesus is sharing with Simon. Let down your nets. What Jesus is saying to Peter is, if you're going to catch any fish, not only do you need to go, but you need to take action. If the net is in the boat, you're not going to catch any fish. Cast out the net. Go. Take action. And when we think about evangelism this morning, those are two very important words for us. There is a difference. I know go is an action word. But how many times have you went and then do what you intended to do? On occasion, you went to the store and picked up some stuff and got home and realized that you didn't get the thing you went to the store for in the first place. We've all been there at some time. And so there's a difference between going and actually taking action. There's a difference in launching out and casting the net. Some people just get a boat to ride around the lake. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you have a boat, it requires a net and some fishing poles and some other things. There's something happening here in this process. And so Jesus is sharing with Simon, launch out, go, let down your nets, cast the net. If we're going to catch fish, you have to cast the net. If you're not casting the net, you're not going to catch any fish. Note here in this conversation, because this is a word we've talked about also in this series we've shared with you, is that Jesus speaks with authority. Remember back in Matthew, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." We see here Jesus in this conversation, he didn't say, "You know, Peter, if you want to, why don't you launch out in the deep? You know, it doesn't really matter if you want to or not, but why would you just do that?" And while we're out there, I mean, just by chance, maybe you ought to throw your net out and let's just see what happens. That's not the words of Jesus. He spoke with authority to Peter. Launch out into the deep and cast out your net for a catch of fish. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Peter, this is what you need to do. In fact, this is what we're going to do. You're going to launch out. You're going to cast out your net with the expectation of catching fish. Jesus spoke with authority. Power. And so we see in the beginning of this conversation, just in a short sentence, that Jesus shares with Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch of fish. We see the go. We see the action. And we see the power. We've talked to you about how we share our faith. We do it in the power of Christ. Not in our own humanity, but in the power of Christ. And we see that in that short sentence Jesus shares with Simon. Or Peter, whichever name you want to refer to him. And so that was Jesus' statement. Let's look at Peter's or Simon's response. Jesus says to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. This is Simon's response. We have toiled all night. We have toiled all night. Lord, we have fished hard. That's what toiled mean. Fished hard all night. We have cast the net and we've cast the net. We cast it on the right. We cast it on the left. We cast it in the front. We've cast it in the rear. We've drug it here and we've drug it there. Fishermen say, I've tossed everything at him and the tackle box. So what Peter's saying, Lord, we have done it, and we've done it again. And when it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to evangelizing, when it comes to inviting people to church, we've done it, and we've done it, and we've asked, and we've asked, and we've asked. Sometimes we'd have to admit we're sick of asking because sometimes people don't respond. We've all been there. All of us have been there. We've done this before, Lord. I've asked that person before. I've invited them before. I've fished and I've fished and I've fished and I've caught nothing. Jesus would respond, keep casting your net. Never quit. As you know, one of my favorite places to fish is Georgian Bay. But I have to be honest, there's times that we don't really cast a net there. We use fishing pole and lures and we troll and we cast, and sometimes we troll and we troll and we go around this island 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, nothing. We stop over in this little bay and we cast till our arms are ready to fall off. Nothing. But we keep casting the net. So we go back to trolling, casting and trolling. Pretty soon you get to this place where you're saying, I don't think there's a fish in this place. Fisherman, you've been there. And then as we head back to camp, you say, you know what? Fishermen aren't all there. I'm sorry. We ought to go around that island one more time before we go back to camp. Around we go. One. You know, it's not too late yet. Twice. And then when you least expect it, there's a fish. When you least expect it. Jesus says to Peter, and this is what happens. Peter said, we've toiled. We've fished all night. Jesus is in his mind is saying, keep casting the net. But I think something very powerful happens here. That is absolutely necessary to be effective in sharing our faith. Peter says to Jesus, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. Fished all night, never caught a thing. But Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets. What's happening here? Obedience. Obedience. Keep casting your net. You never know when it's going to be that moment that your invitation, your moment of sharing Jesus with somebody else is going to be the moment that they're going to take the bait and they're going to show up. And you're going to have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. That only happens when we come obedient to the go, to the action, and to the power of Christ in our life. Peter said, at your word, Lord, I will let down the nets. We have to keep casting the net. If we're not casting the net, we're not catching fish. I've fished a lot over the years. I've never had the experience of a fish swimming up to the boat, jumping up and saying, Pastor Mike, may I jump in the boat with you? Never happened. It just hasn't. Now, I've heard stories about people who've been fishing and fish jumping in the boats. Never happened for me. If it's happened for you, that's awesome. And I know there's now in the river, if you go certain places and rev your motor up, it gets exciting because of the weirdo carp. Anyway, if we're not casting our net, we're not catching fish. Peter said, at your word, I will let down the nets. And so that's the conversation that we had. And in that conversation, we understand at some level, the go, the action, launch out, let down your nets. We understand this thing of authority, of power. There's power in Christ. And then we understand this concept here with Peter of being obedient to the Lord. Those are the essentials, if you would, of evangelism. Because if you don't go, you're not going to catch anything. If you don't let down your net or cast your net, you're not going to catch anything. If you're not using the right net, the right bait, the power of Christ, and not being obedient to when Jesus says, share this here, share that there, go over here, talk to this person, invite that person. If you're not doing those things, there's going to be no catch. Essentials of evangelism. We see this in this conversation that Jesus and Simon are having. And so we understand that Peter is obedient. He launches out into the deep. He casts the net. And so we have to, I don't know about you, but I have to ask, okay, well, what happened then? What happened from this conversation once Peter is obedient to the Lord? And if we look at the scripture, I think it's interesting. It says, when they had done this. When they had done this. When they launched out. When they cast the net. When they had done this. The go, the action, the power, the obedience. When they did that, something miraculous happened when they followed Jesus' instructions. I have to admit, I think sometimes we make things harder than they should be. When we kind of begin to toil around with this word of evangelism. You say evangelism and people kind of just take a step back, just kind of quietly. There's stigma, unfortunately, with the word of evangelism because we think that it's a complicated, difficult thing to do. Because I was already shared with you, when we think evangelism, we think about showing up at church on a Wednesday night and we're going to break up into groups and we're going to hop in our car and we're going to drive up and down the road and we're going to knock on doors and we're going to, as soon as they come, we're going to grab the screen door and say, turn or burn, buddy. That's our kind of our concept, unfortunately, of evangelism. And that's absolutely wrong. Now, I think there's a moment for spontaneously sharing our faith with somebody we come in contact with. And I think that's all about the work of the Holy Spirit and the need of that life that's represented in that moment. But the truth is, usually, evangelism doesn't happen that way. And so, we get apprehensive about this thing. But it's not rocket science. It's not that difficult. But when they had done this, when they have gone and they take an action and they operate in the power of Christ and they were obedient to Him, something happened. Scripture says, even though they fished all night, they had run around that island 10 times now. Scripture says they caught a great number of fish. Results. If you'd asked him 4 or 5 hours ago, fishermen do this all the time, having any luck? No, none. You ask them at this point, they would have a tremendously different story. Yes, there's times when we share our faith that we might not catch, but there's going to be a time when we're sharing our faith, when we're sharing Jesus with somebody, that there's going to be results. We find in this account, there was a great number of fish. And I love it when Jesus gets involved, because you know when Jesus gets involved, it's going to be extraordinary. They didn't just catch a fish. It amazes me that fishermen can be fishing all day and be catching absolutely nothing and have no luck and catch the tiniest bluegill they've ever seen in their life, and their whole demeanor changes. It's amazing. This is the worst fishing trip ever. Caught one fish. They caught a fish. Oh, it's small, but it still counts. And sometimes you don't even get in the boat, but if you see it, it counts. But I want you to know that there was results, because they were obedient. And they caught a great number of fish. Note this, if you would. So much so, it was breaking their nets. It was breaking their nets. Now, I hope that we don't have this picture in our mind that they have an old junky fishing net. These were fishermen. They were commercial fishermen. Scripture says that when Jesus encountered some of these, what were they doing? They were working and tending to and taking care of their nets. It was their income. And so this was the best nets that they could provide. And the scripture says that they had caught so many fish that it was breaking their nets. And I think this is a beautiful thing. They signaled, scripture says, they signaled for their partners to come help. Of course, in the fishing world, after we've fished and fished and fished and nothing happens in Canada, first words out when that bite happens is, fish on! Changes the whole atmosphere. They signaled for their partners to come help. Remember not too long ago, probably 2 weeks ago, we talked about faithful men. Paul said to Timothy, find faithful men who you can share with the things that I've shared with you so that they will share with somebody else. Well, here we find Peter and his crew and his boat, and they're signaling for their partners, faithful men in ministry, men and women who can partner together to come help. And the scripture said that they caught so many fish that it filled their boats. Not boat. Yes, I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. Not boat, but boats. You got to get this in your mind. Hadn't fished. They hadn't caught. They fished all night. Hadn't caught a thing. Jesus gets involved. It makes all the difference, of course. Now they've caught so many fish that the net is breaking. They've called their partners in with other boats. They've filled their boat, their partner's boats, and this is so beautiful. So many fish that their boats are about to sink. I've never been in that scenario either. I've caught some nice fish along the way. But to have so many fish in the boat, it's about to sink. This is a beautiful, beautiful account of evangelism. I'm going to share with you about that in just a moment, but there are times we're going to cast the net and we're going to get nothing. And there's times we're going to cast the net and we're not going to get anything. There's going to be that time when we cast the net and there's going to be a catch. When we go to Canada, there's a goal for the week. Of course, it's to catch fish, of course. But the unwritten rule is you've arrived when you've caught a 20-pound pike. That's the goal. I've been going to Canada for many years. Not every time you go to Canada do you catch a 20-pound pike. One of my friends, Kevin, has went 10, 15 years, has been oh so close, but hasn't caught a 20-pound pike. You know what? He keeps going. He keeps casting his net. Well, these days, he didn't catch a 20-pound pike. But I'll never forget the first meeting I went to go to Canada. And the gentleman who arranged it for us, as he shared with us, he said, if you're going to catch a 20-pound pike, you got to work at it. We were going on a fishing trip. We were going on vacation. And this guy is saying, you got to work at it. What he was saying is, you got to keep casting your net. If your lure isn't in the water, you're not going to catch a fish. And certainly not a 20-pounder. And so the goal was a 20-pounder. Usually if there's a group of four or six of you going to Canada, somebody, if you work hard enough, if you keep casting your net, is going to get a 20-pounder. Somebody will. And that's typically true. But then there's times that you are blessed, if I can say. My friend John has been one of those individuals that has caught more than one 20-pound pike in Canada. And in fact, there was a year he caught four 20-pound pike in Canada. And this is just how fishermen are. You know, man, that's great. When is that going to happen for me? You may not say that out loud, but it's in your mind. And so I got to tell you this. So me and John, we like to talk about the year of the 20-pounders. Because in our group, just John and I have had the opportunity to catch four 20-pound pike in 1 week. There's a point to this. And so my year, we got camp set up Friday night. We didn't get 20 feet from the camp. 20-pound pike in a boat. Talk about excited. And I could have went home then and I'd have been happy for the week. That wasn't my first 20-pounder. That's another story for another day. That the first one's on the wall in my office. But anyway, got that, took pictures. Fortunately, I was going to share with Eli the pictures, but this week hasn't gone the best. So I was going to show those pictures to you. If you want to see them, I have them. Got the boat going again. I'm not kidding. Probably didn't go 100 feet. 20-pound pike. Craziest thing. Next day, of course, we caught fish after that too. Nothing to speak of. We went back through that channel, went right back up that channel next day. You know it. 20-pound pike. If you don't know anything about pike, they have tremendous teeth. I mean, they just do. They tear a lure apart. That third 20-pound pike literally tore my lure. They ripped the hooks completely out of that lure. We went back to camp that night. We were sitting around the campfire. And I thought, I don't have another lure like that. I've caught three. And so I got this bright idea. I sat around the campfire and I stuffed that wire back in that rapala. Squeezed it back together, put the hooks back where they were, borrowed some thin wire from a friend of mine, Denny, and there I wrapped that lure in the tail lightly with wire, wrapped it in the middle until I got it all solid again. I thought, you know what, that ought to catch a fish. You know what? That broken lure, wired back together, next day, 20-pound pike. However, that one destroyed it at that point. But here it is. You gotta keep casting your net. Even when the lure was beaten and broken, I put it back together. Kept casting the net. I still have that lure at the house. Wanted to bring it this morning, but forgot. But if we're going to catch fish, if we're going to be effective in evangelism, we've got to continue to catch fish. And so, is this a story about evangelism or just another fish story? I want you to notice when this account we've shared with you here in John is not just another fish story. It's not the slogan at the Bass Pro Shop when you walk through the front doors that says, "Welcome, hunters, fishermen, and other liars." This is a genuine story about fishing. Jesus, with his disciples, is establishing a powerful foundation of evangelism. Right from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he wanted everybody to understand that his ministry was about evangelism. The DNA of every reason he came was to catch fish, was to fish for men. The very foundation of his ministry. And we see this in this beautiful account of this conversation between Jesus and Peter and Peter's response to Jesus and the fish that was caught. Now, was that a fish story? Yes, it was a fish story, but it had so much more than just catching fish. Look at verse 8 this morning, if you would. I think this is tremendously interesting. When Simon Peter saw it, everything that had unfolded, he fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You're saying, what's so important there, Pastor Mike? Peter's recognition that Jesus makes all the difference. Peter's recognition, I am nothing like that. If you know anything about Simon who becomes Peter, he was a very proud, boastful, arrogant man. He would be the type of fisherman who would say, "If anybody's catching fish, it's going to be me." He would be the person who would never let it down that he caught fish and you didn't. He'd be the kind of guy that would have his wife make a mug that says, "Here, fishy, fishy, fishy." I know Clayton's not in here, but he's probably down in the nursery. But he was that kind of person. And here he is at the feet of Jesus saying, "You depart from me. There's been a change. Something has happened." And I guarantee you, when we begin to genuinely share our faith, things change. Maybe not necessarily the same thing as happening with Peter, but when we have the opportunity to cast our net and we make a catch, it's a powerful moment in the life of the believer. And that's what he's called you and me to do, is to catch fish. Closing verses of this account shares this with us in 9 through 11. "For he and all who were with him were astonished at this catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, this is powerful, church, do not be afraid. For now on, you will catch men. Isn't it interesting? The number one reason why people don't share their faith is fear. And what Jesus says to his very own disciples, do not be afraid. For now you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Well, as we come to a conclusion this morning, if we're going to be good at evangelism, we must understand four simple things. We've got to understand the go. We've got to understand the go. If we don't go, we won't catch. We've got to understand the go. Not only do we got to understand the go, but we got to understand the action. We have to keep casting our net. Time after time after time, we have to keep casting the net. We got to understand the go. We've got to understand the action. We must understand that evangelism happens only in the power and the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's not about us. It's Him and about Him. It's what Jesus has done in and through us. Dean mentioned we don't need a lot of theology to share our faith, and we don't. All we have to simply do is share with people what Jesus has done for us. In other words, we just have to share our own fish story. How do we have to understand the power? We have to understand this thing of obedience. That's really about the when and the where. Keep casting the net. Keep casting the net. And Scripture says, and when they'd done this, there was a catch. Church, we must keep casting our net. Well, we might have one last question. What does evangelism look like for us? When we talk about being fishers of men at Dover Hill, what does it look like for us? Well, I believe, according to Scripture, that it looks a bit like prayer. It looks a bit like caring. It looks a bit like sharing. It looks a bit like empowering. How do we fish for men, women, and children? We pray. We pray for them. We demonstrate some form or fashion of care so that they know that we care about them. We take time to share with them. It's about spending life with them. It's about having a conversation. Finding out who they are, what they like, what their pets' names are. It's about sharing a cup of coffee or a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Or a slow evening on the creek bank. Sharing. And in that moment, the opportunity will arise that we will have the opportunity to share our story after we've heard their story. And the possibility of a catch. And then we have the opportunity to empower them, to point them to Jesus, to help move them one step closer to a personal relationship with Christ. That's what evangelism looks like at Dover Hill. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It just takes a little go and a little action, a little power, and a lot of obedience. We must keep casting our net. And if we do, there will be a catch. Let's stand together this morning.